AJ Jakubek joins us here once again from TSN 1200 out in Ottawa. AJ, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Hey, before we get to the Red Blacks, more important question. Curtis Lazar, where's he at in your mind right now? You know, it's all about, you know, training camp starting here now. So let's get right to it.
Great question. I look, I mean, he had such a good World Junior camp in the summer. From all reports, he was the best player there. I've been told, look, it's up to Curtis Lazar, and if he shows what we think he is going to show, then I think he's going to be on this hockey club. But when you look at the Ottawa Senators and you look at the two possible positions where he can play, I mean, the weakest part of the Senators up front is on the left side, and I think they view him as a right winger.
Yeah.
And, of course, he played in junior as a center. And when you look at the right wingers, you've got Chris Neal, Eric Condra, Alex Chiasson, who they just traded for, Bobby Ryan, and Mark Stone, who looked like a legitimate top six forward down the stretch last season. And he's entering his third year pro versus a 19-year-old Curtis Lazar. Then you look up the middle and you say, okay, well, you got Kyle Turris, Mika Zibanejad, Zach Smith, David Legwand, who they just signed, and Jean-Gabriel Pageau, who's also another third-year pro. So, I mean, there's 10 guys at center and right wing. He's going to have to beat out maybe one or two of those guys if he's going to push his way onto the roster. But I just get the sense that he's going to find his way onto this hockey club in some fashion, especially if he continues to build on what he's done here over the last year.
AJ, how much out of character would it be for the Ottawa Senators to have a 19-year-old on their roster next season?
I mean, we saw with Mika Zibanejad, he played here at 19 years old. I think the biggest thing is, in the last 3 or 4 years in particular, they will not rush players. And so if they feel Curtis Lazar is even marginally not ready to play in the National Hockey League, they will not hesitate to send him back to junior. So I think that's the one good thing. I mean, when you look at the depth chart at center and right wing, and you look at the fact that in terms of a track record, this Senators team is not going to rush a player, then, I mean, those are the two hopes that Oil Kings would have in getting Curtis Lazar back. But then when you just look at how ready he looks, how he played in the Memorial Cup in the playoffs, and how he looked this summer, and how he looked at the World Juniors last year, and you just get the sense that he is ready for that next step. But he's got to go out and prove it. If he, again, shows that there's any kind of doubt or hesitation, then I don't think there's any question the Senators will send him back.
AJ Jakubek joins us here. He's the voice of all Ottawa sports, including the Red Blacks, who are in action tomorrow or Sunday against the Calgary Stampeders. And AJ, we talked last week, and I didn't give the Red Blacks much of a shot against the Eskimos. Man, they played well, probably deserved a better fate despite some turnovers. What'd you make of the Red Blacks' performance last week against Edmonton?
I thought it was a step in the right direction, you know, in a lot of different areas. But unfortunately, they couldn't finish the job, and that was evident in a lot of different areas. I thought offensively they moved the ball well against a very good defense, over 300 yards against the Eskimos, who were averaging about 250 before the game. But dropped passes and that fumble by Matt Carter killed them. I mean, they had, for example, a drop. Couple of passes on the first drive and ended up costing him not only 4 points but 6 points, because it ended up being a single point instead of a field goal. And so those add up. They left a lot of points on the board in the first half. The Eskimos hung in there, and then when Matt Carter fumbled the ball at the 10-yard line, I mean, that's just over 3 minutes to go. If they kick a field goal, they force Edmonton with under 3 minutes to play to score a touchdown. And of course, if they score a touchdown, then you know, it might be game over. So missed opportunity for Ottawa. I mean, Edmonton wasn't at their best. They're a better team than they showed last week. And for the Red Blacks, well, it doesn't get any easier this week against Calgary. So I think there is a pretty realistic possibility we could see 3 1-win teams in the East heading into Labor Day.
AJ, it's a little too dramatic to suggest this a do-or-die game for any kind of playoff hopes the Ottawa Red Blacks hope to keep.
Yeah, I think because of the opposition, again, I've kind of, you know, probably shouldn't do this as a broadcaster, but I kind of already marked this as a pretty much a loss. And so if you
Yeah, okay. Look, if they come out and they turn that into a win, to me it's a bonus, and maybe it turns their season around. I think there are some positives in the sense that of the seven games that they have played, they have had a lead where they have been tied in five of them into the second half. The two blowout games were against Saskatchewan and Calgary. They need to get off to a better start than they did in Calgary 2 weeks ago, because this is a team that, you know, when they fall behind early, they start playing catch up, start abandoning the run a little too much, and then things just seem to snowball from there. But I think when you look at the schedule, I mean, the last 10 games of the year, Ottawa plays Montreal three times. The Alouettes aren't very good. They play Hamilton twice. I think the Ticats have been better than their 1-6 record when you look at all the close games they've lost. But with no Caleros and no Lefevre, their quarterback situation is a bit of a mess, much like Montreal. So, you know, that's five games against two teams with significant drop-offs in terms of their quarterback situation compared to the rest of the league. And you got a game against Toronto. You got a game against Winnipeg at home. There's a lot of winnable games left. So this is kind of one of those bonus weeks. If you can get the win, fantastic. It might turn your season around. But I think the must-win games start the following week in Montreal on the Friday.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, despite the record right now, it's still two teams in the East are going to make it. So there's a playoff race, even if it's a bit of a snail's derby right now. There's still a playoff race ongoing out East, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good in terms of the standings, that's for sure. I think Winnipeg's, I said it for weeks here. I mean, you look at Winnipeg, and I'm not going to feel sorry for them when they miss the playoffs. And I say when. They're 5-3 right now. They barely beat Ottawa. They needed a last-second touchdown to win in Montreal. They needed a last-second touchdown to beat Hamilton. You mark my words, Winnipeg will be 500 or less, and no one's going to be feeling sorry for them at the end of the season. So the other four teams are going to be in. Toronto, they're starting to get some bodies back with Chad Owens. Doesn't sound like Andre Dury's too far away. They're clearly the class of the East, and then it's a battle between Hamilton, Montreal, and Ottawa, and I think Fitz win might get it done, which is kind of a little bit strange, but, you know, if Ottawa could get to 5 or 6 wins, I kind of felt they'd probably get between 5 and 7 wins this year. 7, to me, looks like a stretch right now, but again, with that back-heavy schedule against Eastern opponents, I don't think 6 is out of the question, so 6 to me gets you into the playoffs. 5, I mean, who knows? I mean, 5 at least gives you a chance. And I think for Ottawa, that still looks like a realistic proposition if they keep going in the right direction like we saw last week.
What about as far as on the injury front? What kind of update can you give us on Ottawa receivers Matt Carter and Carlton and Mitchell?
Matt Carter's going to play, so that's a real positive. I know, I mean, he dropped the ball. He had the fumble late, but he's still head and shoulders their best Canadian receiver. Had 5 catches for 97 yards, including a beauty in that game in the second quarter. So he's going to play. Carlton Mitchell, the ex-Eskimo, will not. And so we're going to see Khalil Patton for the first time this week. And I think more importantly, the significant change this week is Jovan Johnson back. I mean, former Defensive Player of the Year in the league with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and at 30 years old, it's a young secondary. I mean, they went with 5 rookies in the secondary last week against Edmonton, and they're getting better. I mean, that's been a weak point so far this year, but you can see some promise. Jermaine Robinson has come in and looked real good the last couple of weeks, and I like what Eddie Elder has done at safety with the move with Antoine Pruno moving to the Sam linebacker position where he replaced former Eskimo TJ Hill. So they're getting better on defense. They're getting better in the secondary. And to get their best guy and their clearly most experienced guy back in Jovan Johnson, that should definitely help this week against the Stamps.
Stamps get John Cornish back too, though. That's obviously something that the Ottawa's got to worry about a little bit, trying to shut him down, hey?
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, and good for the league to see John Cornish back, to see Chad Owens back. I mean, these are the guys you want to see play. I mean, they're game breakers, and they're two of the best in football. So, but the one thing Calgary's done, it really hasn't mattered who's been there, whether it was Jock Sanders or Martel Mallett or Matt Walter or Hugh Charles last week. He had over 100 yards. Whoever's been in that slot
they've managed to be productive. And so I think that's just a credit to the offensive line and just that overall Calgary offense. So no question Cornish is going to make a difference. Nick Lewis is going to play this week as well. But throw out a couple of receivers. Maurice Price is still out due to injury, and Jeff Fuller now out with a shoulder injury as well. So the Stamps have been banged up throughout the season on offense, and even with Cornish back, they're still without a couple of key weapons.
Is smiling Hank Burris, the QB for the Red Blacks, still smiling at this point in the season?
A little less than usual, but that's still a lot. So, I you can certainly sense some frustration a little bit in terms of the fact that, I mean, he admitted today that he's had trouble sleeping the last few weeks. He hasn't been used to losing this much. I mean, they haven't won since July 18th at home. It's been four losses in a row, and so there are some growing pains. There are some struggles. In terms of Henry Burris's play, I think other than the Saskatchewan game where he really struggled, I mean, everyone struggled in that one when it was 32-0 early in the second quarter for the Riders. But other than that, I would say his play has either been okay, good, or decent. And a lot of it, again, stems from the receivers. They've kind of let him down. We've seen some good things from all the receivers, whether it's been Marcus Henry or Kier Johnson, who's another key injury right now for the Red Blacks, or Matt Carter, as I mentioned earlier, Wallace Miles, Dobson Collins. We've seen good things from all of those players, but we've seen inconsistencies as well, and that's probably why these players were available to Ottawa in the first place. Too many drops, that fumble we saw last week, miscommunication, running the wrong route. So I think that's the one area when you look at Ottawa and you say, okay, what area do they need improvement in the most? I think clearly it would have been the secondary probably a few weeks ago, but the way they've improved the last couple of weeks, no question, receivers kind of under the gun, because Burris's numbers, I mean, you look at his completion percentage, it's around 60%. It should be around 70%. That's how much the drops have affected this team. They've killed the drive. They've taken points off the board, and they've really killed momentum in games. So that's something that the receivers, and they're taking some heat here in Ottawa. I think, yeah, you know, there's still a honeymoon. Everyone is loving the fact that football is back. The atmosphere at TD Place has been phenomenal. It'll be the fourth straight sellout this week, but fans are still passionate, and that's the one area where when they're calling into the call-in shows, they're saying, wow, these receivers, I mean, they need to be a lot better. So, and they're getting the message. I think they're feeling some heat, and we'll see how they respond and if they step up as a group this week against Calgary.
AJ Jakubek from TSN 1200. Hey, is it signature weekend this weekend?
yeah. They're a broadcaster's nightmare.
Yeah.
I was talking to Rick Ball, who does the BC Lions games, and Mike Hogan, who does the Toronto Argonauts games, and that BC Toronto game with basically gray on black for the Lions and the logo on the front for the Argos. Bit of a nightmare to call, apparently. So I am reserving judgment on the uniforms until I actually see them in person and broadcast the game on Sunday.
All right, man. Well, hey, good luck. I know the Red Blacks, we talked about it before, the numbers aren't good to start with, but hopefully these work out for you.
Yeah, thanks. No, I'm not the only one that said that, but hey, that's the way it goes. Marketing, and yeah. I tell you, they've been selling, in terms of merchandise, they've been selling about $100,000 a game.
Nice.
At TD Place. So they're doing well. You can't go around town without seeing people wearing Red Blacks gear, no matter where you go. It's a hot item. It's just great to see once again, because having been here for the Renegade era, it was nothing like this before. Football is here to stay, and I think that's great for the league and certainly great for Ottawa.
Great stuff, AJ. Have a good call this weekend. Appreciate the time.
You bet, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.